The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner in with Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Pat, my husband and fellow realtor. And our featured guest again, Jamie Nagveski, Valentine Construction.
Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie.
Thanks for joining us again, 2 weeks in a row.
Sure.
We are here every Saturday and Sunday discussing everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many full-time realtors. We've been listing and selling real estate for over 40 years. We are the proud recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21 for 2010. Feel free to email us at
questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Or you can visit us online at jruddy.com and view our listings or search the MLS. Okay, Jamie, give us a little bit, a brief history about yourself, background.
We've been in business. The name of the company is Valentine Construction. We've been in business for just over 16 years. We started in 1995. We do mostly residential work now. We do have a background in commercial, industrial, and residential. But as I said, we are basically doing mostly residential work now.
Great. And how do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at our office at 570-586-7647 or on the internet at Valentine, C-O-N-S-T, at Comcast.net.
Thank you very much. Today, I thought we could talk about all things regarding building a home, taking it from the top, looking for that land, that perfect lot to put this home. Now, when people go out and look at land, sometimes they like to buy in a purchase a property in a development or maybe, you know, something with acreage. And I'm sure what they look at and what they see is far different from, say, a builder's perspective. So do you have any?
Sure. Well, of course, it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a wooded lot, if you're looking for some acreage, as you said, or in a development, what you want to try and stay away from is anything. There's nothing wrong with a slight pitch to land, slight rolling, but you'll want to get away from anything that has extreme slopes to it, and you certainly want to stay away from anything anywhere near the bottom of a hill or where you can see that the grades point towards your property. And you also want to take a drive around that area to make sure that there are no other developments or areas that you think could possibly be developed that in the future there could be a drainage issue to your land.
Okay, some good points there. And after the lot's purchased and then you come out and you're looking at the land, you know, people usually then go to an architect or somebody to draw plans and get specifications, so on and so forth.
Right. In fact, with new UCC regulations, all prints have to be certified by a certified architect, and they do have to be stamped and released. So that is certainly your first step. Your second step is to decide where your lot, depending on, of course, where your lot is, your driveway, if you have the range and the room to do it, how you want to face your property. If you want your back facing to the west, your north to the east, however you would like to set it. Of course, if you're in development with on a cul-de-sac or a road, the front would obviously face, you know, towards the road. But a lot of times, if you have enough acreage, you can face the house whatever direction you want. And you also want to put it in a part of the property that, of course, following all your local guidelines and setbacks, you would like to, you want to really establish where you want to put this for the size front yard you want, the size backyard you want, and also so it's feasible for your drainage and location of your home.
So you said UCC, that's the code that governs.
Yeah, Uniform Construction Code. It came into institution about in Pennsylvania about 3 years ago, where everything is the same uniform code now, whether you build in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, or Clark Summit or Scranton. It's all the same code.
So builders know the codes, you would hope.
Absolutely. But it's always a good idea, I believe, for especially if you're building a new home, it'd be a great idea for the homeowner to get in touch with the Department of Labor and Industry and get themselves a copy of that code book so they understand what the codes are, what the specifications are, and It's actually not that bad of a read. There's a lot of very simple language in it that even someone who's not experienced in construction can understand and get the gist of what's going on, just to make sure that you're abreast on what's happening and what should be happening.
Right, right. Good point. And that's where I was headed with that. So now we have the land. We have the codes, and we understand the codes, and we have our blueprints and our specifications, and we pretty much know what we're going to do. Take it from, like, start with the foundations.
Okay, well, your foundation, I always recommend to customers, if you're fortunate enough to have a basement, in an area where you're going to have a basement, I always try and recommend that they go anywhere from a foot to 18 inches higher on their foundation than a standard 8-foot ceiling. That way, you have allowances for your ductwork if you're going to do central air or forced hot air, and you'll still have, when you finish your basement, you can still have a fantastic high 8-foot to 8-foot-6 ceiling, and it doesn't seem like you're in a basement. You're not crowded. I also like to keep the foundation at least 18 inches above the ground level so we can get some kind of pitch away from the, depending on where the house is, you know, and how it is. We like to grade away from the house to keep the water away from your foundation. Foundations, they have all different, you have a lot of choices now. You can do poured concrete. You can do superior walls, which are basically a steel studded wall with a heavy styrene, polystyrene on it, and a thin coating of concrete. Obviously, a poured concrete foundation is the strongest, the most water repellent, but cinder block and concrete foundations are also very good. But you should just take some caution with them. What I would recommend is that every other course you put DuraWall or DuraBond, which is a graded steel that goes every other course. It gives a tensile strength, keeps it from bowing and pushing. And also, when you're done, it's always a great idea to fill the cells, because there's a lot of hollow when you're doing a block. Fill the cells with pea gravel and concrete, or a mortar mixture and pea gravel along with rebar. If you do this, you're never going to have any trouble as long as you're on a strong footer, you know, to the specification by ASTM, which they're supposed to be at.
Well, I would think that a foundation and how it's built is extremely important. And if it's poorly built, you can have problems that would haunt you.
Yeah, and always give yourself access. Make sure that you have a Bilco door. There's nothing worse than having to carry the supplies from outside through your home to get into your basement. Always make sure you have an outside access. Some houses are fortunate, depending on the grade of their land, that they have a walkout, a regular man door walkout, which is great. But if you don't, make sure you put in a Bilco door and have a nice set of concrete steps going down for access to your basement from the outside. You'll never be sorry.
Yeah, well, I was just watching a construction of a property in the neighborhood, and they didn't do any of that, what you said, with the P-stone or the rebar or anything in the courses of the...
Not saying that that's going to be a problem in the future, but for the minimal expense to fill your block solid, stick some extra rebar in, put some DuraWall in, you're never going to have a problem. And it actually helps fight the moisture as well.
Yeah, excellent point. But I was thinking that, you know, when you're talking about have a Bilco door and stairs that lead to the outside if you're not on ground level, that just from a safety perspective, if you have a finished lower level and you don't have a way out, ingress, egress, fire...
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's an excellent point.
And then your foundation, now they have these great products, which are sprayed vinyl. They're rubberized vinyl that you put on. They used to tar foundations, which was really damp-proofing. It really wasn't waterproofing. It would give you a certain amount of time that you wouldn't get water in. But these new spray-on foundations, they spray right over your block, your concrete, are absolutely waterproof. So spend the extra dollars, the extra time to do that, and you'll never have a problem with infiltration.
Good, good. Well, you know, do you think it's a good idea, a wise idea for someone that's building to summarize everything that they want to do with the builder in writing?
Oh, absolutely. First, you know, discuss it and come up with the ideas that you want. The blueprints take care of a lot of the questions, but there are an infinite number of questions that the blueprints do not address, as far as fixtures, allowances, what's going to happen in every room. And make sure when you're working with your architect as well that you get the things that make the home the way you want it. If you're building this home, you're putting out the money for this home, make sure you have exactly what you want. Make sure you have a coat closet when you come in off your mudroom. Make sure you have nice wide hallways. Make sure you have big wide doorways to move your furniture around and give it a more open feeling. Make sure you have the lighting you want. Make sure that, and the hard part is a lot of builders will give an allowance. They'll say, we'll give you $20,000 for a lighting allowance. Make sure before you sign any contracts or do anything that you can get what you want for that $20,000. No one has unlimited funds, and I've seen overruns time and time again, and it's always painful because a lot of times, especially now, the banks aren't giving out extra money. You get a construction loan, that's what you're getting, and they're not going to give you a penny more. Then you're dipping into your savings, your money market, something you didn't want to have to do. So just make sure if you were given allowances that what you want to make your home the way you want it, those allowances will cover.
We know a little bit about overruns, do we not?
Oh, we know a lot about overruns.
Yes. So, good, excellent, excellent point, Jamie. Thank you. You are listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And today we're talking with Jamie Nagvesky with Valentine Construction regarding points, tips on how to build a home, what to think of. And you were just talking about overruns, people going over what their budget has allowed for. And so to do the homework and the footwork, sit down with a lighting specialist, someone.
Sure. You just don't want to go into anything blind, anything uneducated. Being online, the internet, and everything that we have at our resources today, there's no reason to go into something and put your trust completely into anyone. I would absolutely find out first what you want. Go over things with your architect. Make sure the house is the way you want it. And with the information available to you, you'll be able to see. Visit your job frequently. Take pictures of what's going on, just so you have a log of what's happening. You can see there are so many things with roofing systems now. You have to have the proper ice and water shield, the proper flashing where it meets walls, to make sure that you don't have any problems in the future. It'd be the worst thing ever to come in a new house and have a roof leak or an ice dam. With today's technology and building products and the substrates we have today, there's no reason for anything to ever go wrong like that. So just be aware of the things that should be done, especially on your roof lines with ice and water shield, with the proper flashings. And all of this will be pointed out in the drawings from the architect. And just make sure that you understand the prints as well as understand the codes. And, you know, just use some common sense when you're looking at what you're looking at. If something doesn't make sense to you, it's probably not right. So make sure it's addressed to the builder.
Great. Great advice. We're headed towards a break, but before we do so, we're going to review a listing. Pat?
Okay, this is a listing in Scranton. It's 1442-1444 St. Ann Street in Scranton. It's a two-family. It's listed for $79,900. It's two units. It's located in a beautiful neighborhood surrounded by older and newer homes. The house is in very good condition. Semi-modern kitchens and baths. It's got separate utilities, and we want that as an owner, right? You don't want to be paying the tenant's utilities. Could be a good investment. We'll live in one side and let the other side pay your mortgage. That's listed by Trish Conway. That's 1442-1444 St. Ann Street in Scranton for $79,900.
Okay, it's break time, so we will be back in a little bit with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Selling or buying a house? No question, it's a difficult decision, and you want every little detail to be perfect. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe down the road. Think Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Why should you choose Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate? Because they help people. They've been helping people do this over and over for over 40 years. They offer advice on how to decorate an empty house, how to get that old or new house ready for sale, what to repair or change to make it look its very best, what is a suitable price, and how to get it sold. Maybe you're moving into a new neighborhood. You want to know about the school, place of worship, and Little League teams. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you through every step of the process from start to finish. From the showing, the negotiating, the endless paperwork, the appraisal and inspection, then the settlement. They listen to your needs and concentrate on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit us at www.jruddy.com, where you will experience the gold standard. When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation, harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.
We're We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I am Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner, in with Pat Devaney.
Thank you, Jackie.
Hello, my husband and fellow realtor, and our featured guest today, Jamie Nagveski, Valentine Construction.
How are you, Jackie?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for being with us again. And so far today, we've been talking about things to think about when building a home. And you were very good to point out before the break, we can avoid cost overruns easily if we think about certain things prior to getting involved, doing our homework and sitting down with the lighting specialist, heating specialist, going over things with the builder and the architect and making sure that we stay within budget.
Absolutely, especially things like plumbing fixtures. They will give an allowance for plumbing fixtures, and if you really break down the allowance sometimes, you'll see that you're not getting very quality, you're not getting quality fixtures. You're getting, kind of building grade things. And if you're building an expensive home or any home, the last thing you want are problems with your plumbing fixtures. It could lead to, substrate damage. It could lead to a multitude of things. So you really want to see what your allowance is and take how many bathrooms you have, your kitchen, all the different places where you're going to have your plumbing, and make sure that the faucets that you're looking at that you want to pick out can be bought for that allowance. And if they're not, then maybe we need to cut somewhere else and make that allowance higher. Maybe cut on a flooring allowance. Maybe carpet two rooms that you thought you were going to hardwood. Or, it's give and take. It's just make sure that when you're going in that you have all the information which is readily available to you between your builder, your architect, what's available online, being able to get your copy of building codes from the Department of Labor and Industry. You can be very informed and be a very big part of it. That's the main thing. Be a very big part of when you're building your home. Don't leave things up to subcontractors or even your general contractor. Make the decisions, visit frequently, see the updates, see what's happening every day, and make sure things are progressing the way that you're satisfied that they're progressing.
And you mentioned before the break, too, to take photos, which is an excellent idea during the whole process.
Absolutely. And make sure you take a lot of photos. Number one, it's great to have a scrapbook of when you're building your home, and it's something you always look back at. And two, it also gives you an idea of the construction of it, making sure that they're using the proper materials, the certified materials. Take close-up pictures are very important, especially at roof lines where they meet housing, where they meet the main wall, the vertical wall of the house. Just take pictures, be involved, be present. No one's going to think it's annoying that you're there. It's your home, it's your money, and you have every right to be there, and you should be there, and you should be a big part of it.
Well, sure, you want to make sure everything's done right.
Absolutely.
I mean, had we taken pictures, well, you were on the scene, thank God, Pat, but, the sheetrockers were covering our outlet, so, if we weren't present,
we would have lost a lot of outlets.
Yeah, and that's not, what happens is one outlet runs to another, it runs to a different feed. You could lose feeds, you could lose power, it could be very dangerous if there's an open wire, if things weren't capped. So it's just nice to be there. Make sure that all the people that are on, make sure you know who all the subs are that will be working on the job. And make sure that they're licensed and they're certified and that they have a good reputation. But as far as the building of your house, you just want to make sure that you really try to anticipate everything that you want. A lot of people make mistakes, especially, I've seen this time and time again with the size of their driveway. They think that, my car's 7 feet wide. If I go 8 feet wide for, the driveway, or if I want a double driveway, 16 feet wide, it's fine. It really isn't. Even a parking space is 9 feet wide if you go to the mall. So you're going to want at least 11 feet per lane for your driveway. So if you're going to do a double driveway, you want at least 22 feet. And that's another great way you can dress up your house for not a lot of money. Put cobblestone around the side or some stamped concrete around between the blacktop. It really dresses it up and it gives you some room. And since we're on that subject of going in the driveway, when you get to your garage, it's always great if you have a floor plan where you can have a high garage, 12, 13, 14-foot ceilings, where you can put a ceiling in and still have a huge loft space above it. It's a great access. Sometimes it's not feasible with your floor plan, but if you can do it, I recommend it. And also realize when you have your garage doors, always have at least 4 to 5 feet from the side of the garage door to where it meets your interior wall. So when you open your door and it swings open or the kids get out of the back and fling your door open, you're not hitting your sheetrock, you're not damaging your vehicle. Just make sure you have enough room. There's things like that usually architects are pretty good at covering. But sometimes they try and squeeze something in and they give you 2 feet, 2.5 feet on the side of your garage door. You're not going to be happy with it.
No, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
But the excellent points, and I was thinking about the garage, like your car that you're driving today, you may think will fit in the garage, that small BMW. But what if you go to a Ford, a Dodge or a Ram.
Big Dodge truck.
With an extended cab.
Well, we when we did it, we extended the garage. It's 24 foot. So
right.
I have a giant truck that fits in there.
Yeah, you always want to do at least 24 feet. And you don't want to do, again, people, a standard door is an 8-foot door if you're doing single doors. An 8-foot door is extremely difficult to back out of. Extremely difficult. Even with a small car, at least 9 foot. Go for 10 if you have the room. A 9-foot door is the minimum you should put in. And height-wise, 7-foot doors are a thing of the past. Don't do it. They're cheaper. They're more economical. But the vehicles today, you're going to be very unhappy with it. Go with at least an 8-foot high door, at least 9-foot wide, and you're not going to have any trouble.
Right.
If you can swing it, do the 10. It's a lot nicer to back out of a garage. You're not worried about swinging the front of your car into the jamb of your door.
Right. For sure. And that storage above is...
It's, if you have the time, if you have the application in your floor plan to do it, it's great because it's not really an attic. It's really, you know, enclosed. It's not as hot. And if you're under 6 feet, normally you can just walk through without even hitting your head. And it's a great space to have a set of stairs up to for all the kids' bikes for the winter, for the skis when you put them up there for the summer, for the stuff for the pool, for everything.
Patio, it's great furniture.
Absolutely.
Front porch furniture.
It's great to have a loft like that rather than putting in an attic or dragging into the basement, especially if you want to finish your basement.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a hassle. So if you can do the loft area, you know, I always try to recommend that as well.
I agree. Okay, great. How about electrical must-haves? Anything that you know people wouldn't think of? Because there is so much to think about when building a home.
There really is. The BOCA code and the UCC code really takes care of most of that. You know, the thing of having one outlet per room, you know, certainly is a thing of the past. Every 12 feet, you're going to have an outlet. They're all 18 inches off the ground. The new thing now is I've seen multiple 200-amp services. You know, some of these houses are slammers, and they have 400-amp services. I believe it to be overkill. I don't think you ever need anything more than 200-amp service. If you have everything on in your entire house at once, the most you're ever going to draw is 40 to 50 amps. You know, so a 200-amp service is more than sufficient for most houses. We personally do not run any 14 wire. 14 is a gauge of wire, and usually lighting circuits are on 14 and outlets are on 12. You know, things like stoves would be on a 10 and your ovens are, you know, an 8. It depends on your gauge wire and the draw and the breaker size. The minimum we do in a house is 12 wire simply because you don't get the voltage drop when you turn things on. You'll notice in some houses they turn a light on and the lights, or you turn something else on, the lights dim a little bit. 12 wire lessens the resistance from your panel to your fixture. So you get rid of that voltage drop and the little dimming that happens when you turn the vacuum on. So we'd like to, that's really the only point. Otherwise, everything is absolutely covered. 14 wire is absolutely acceptable with UCC. We personally don't use it. We don't do anything less than 12 wire when we build a home.
Okay, point well taken. You are listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here we are today talking with Jamie Nagvesky, Valentine Construction, regarding things to think about when building a home. So what about soundproofing? A lot of people don't think about that when they're building a home.
No, they don't. There are certainly a lot of things you could do for soundproofing. A lot of people don't think about it. They think of insulating the outside of the house, obviously, and again, that's up to a code. Now it's R21, and the outside used to be R19. It's a relatively new regulation, and we're up to R21. But it's also a great idea to insulate inside of the house, to insulate between bedrooms, between the master suite and the hallway, of course, around bathrooms. And if you can do it, solid core doors are a huge barrier rather than the hollow core doors. And if there's another, there's a lot of different things you do to soundproof, but mainly the main things are insulating, literally 2x4 insulation between walls. You would not believe how it dampens the sound between walls, especially if you want privacy for master suite, for bathrooms, for powder rooms downstairs. A lot of powder rooms are located very centrally downstairs. So you want to have those soundproof. You want to have a solid core door on there. They also sell products that sell a thin layer of cork that you can put below hardwood flooring, which also helps with the soundproofing between floors, between your second floor and your first floor. You don't see a lot of it, but in a lot of higher-end homes, they do use it. It's about a quarter inch thick of, it's actually a cork material that you put down beneath your hard substrate floors to stop with the sound transfer.
I believe that's money well spent.
Yeah, when we're talking about the solid core doors, when we did our house, we upgraded to solid core doors, and that was a...
Makes a big difference.
Makes a big difference. Made a big difference in the price, too, but
sure.
We're glad we did it.
It does. And also, when you're mad, you slam a solid core door, everybody knows you're mad. If you slam a hollow core door when you're mad, nobody actually knows that you're angry.
That right. Doesn't happen in our home,
oh,
does
God,
it?
Oh, God, no.
Never.
I'm sure it's pure bliss all the time.
Oh, it certainly is.
Okay, well, when you're talking about doors and solid core doors, what came to my mind was, I think, you know, as somebody that's in real estate that goes into many homes, one of the things that I always think about that's really underused is the sliding door. Do you do
pocket doors?
Pocket doors,
pocket
yes.
Doors are greatly underused. There are so many applications that people don't do because, well, if the door swings in, the laundry room will be a hassle this way. If it swings out, it's going to come into this room. We can't put a dresser here. Pocket doors are an enormously great asset to any home. They are a little more expensive to put in. They are certainly labor intensive. What you have to realize, though, is whatever size door you have for that opening, they don't apply everywhere. They're very difficult to put in certain places, simply because if you have a 36-inch door and you want to make it a pocket door, you need 36 inches to the left or the right of that door, plus normally 6 for your pocket to work. And then in that area, then, of course, you realize you can't have any switches or outlets. So you have to make sure that if they are there, they have to be moved. So sometimes they're labor intensive, especially on a remodel part of it. But if they're going in from day one, they can be applied and they're great. We just signed a contract 2 days ago putting in a laundry room, and they couldn't make the door work. We were able to get in a 30-inch pocket door. Customer's very pleased with the layout, the blueprint, and it'll work out well.
Great. Yeah, I could think of two rooms. We could have used those, but we didn't think about it when we had everything wide open. And that's why I mentioned it today, because if you're thinking about it, you're building something to really
It's certainly
about.
A lot easier when you're building.
Yes.
The headers will be framed out differently for the pocket doors. It can certainly be done as a remodeling aspect, but it's certainly a little bit more labor intensive.
Right. I would imagine. Okay, well, thanks again, Jamie. A wealth of wonderful information again today.
Oh, well, thanks for having us. We'd love to be here.
Yes, thank you. And again, your contact information?
It's Valentine Construction at 570-586-7647 or online at valentineconst@comcast.net.
Okay. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy's, we've had 3 properties that we listed go under contract within days of being offered on the multi-list. We had one at 1620 Quincy Avenue, Dunmore, one at 10 Elizabeth Street, Pittston, and one at 1003 Grandview Street in the Green Ridge section of Scranton. And by the way, at Century 21 Jack Ruddy's, we do not hold our listings out of the MLS. We believe our sellers deserve to be offered on the MLS to already willing and able buyers, because this generates the highest and best price and terms. Holding a listing out of the multi-list is definitely not in the seller's best interest. But today, instead of reviewing a listing, we need houses. Houses are wanted. We have buyers pre-approved, ready to buy. So if you have a property that fits the following description, please give us a call. We have a buyer pre-approved for $150,000 or less, FHA, in the Abington School District, and they are willing to do work. Another buyer, cash buyer, so if it's not contingent upon financing, in the Taylor area, a single or a double for $170,000 or less. Someone looking for a multi-unit who's open to many different locations, also an FHA buyer, a pre-approved for $125,000 or less. The only thing is, on one of those units, they have to have 3 bedrooms. So if you have any home that fits those descriptions, please give us a call, because again, we have ready, willing, able buyers. Our tip of the day, we'll close with that. An option for lackluster flooring, use an area rug over carpets. It'll add a splash of color and bring definition to living areas. If you're adding inexpensive carpeting, another thing to consider is upgrading the carpet pad. It's only about 50 cents more per square footage, and it will make a budget carpet feel luxurious. And that's from Terry Lynn Fisher, who is a staging specialist with Empire Realty in Walnut Creek, California. We're out of time, so that concludes today's Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker, again with Jackie Ruddy and Pat Devaney.
Thank you, Jackie.
Of Century 21 Jack Ruddy's, and Jamie Nagveski, Valentine Construction.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
Thanks again. If you have any real estate questions during the week, feel free to
email us at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Thank you for joining us, and have an incredible weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been
guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation, harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.